Hi, I'm Pamela Witten, Dean of the College of Communication Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, and you're listening to Current Sports on WKAR.
From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives from the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching it, like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Touchdown! Michigan State wins it in overtime!
What's up, good people? It's May 14th, 2013, and welcome to Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Good afternoon. I truly hope you all are having a beautiful day. To kick off today's show, we will talk about an effort that's pretty inspiring. The Tigers with a nice rebound last night. Lansing Catholic takes home another title in baseball, along with so much more. And people, on today's episode, we dig into the world of television and sports. That's right, I sat down with an MSU alum who is now a pioneer for sports television. Fox Sports, that is. He will tell us all about his impact along with what's next for sports television. That's all coming up on Current Sports. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Welcome to Episode 2. Before we begin today's show, I would like to thank all of you out there who tuned in yesterday for our premiere show. We had Earl Robinson as our guest, sort of a passion to torch type of episode. It was certainly great to talk with Earl and discuss his legacy. We also took some of your calls, and can you believe this, man? My dad called in. That's right. Pops called in. He even called me out on my basketball skills, man. He's a little salty. I used to whoop his butt back in the day, you know, in the backyard. So, hey. But that was special. Love you, Dad. It was a fun time. We hope to make today fun as well. Today, we kick off part one of our three-part series about sports and television. We will talk with three men who have definitely made their mark in the TV sports world. They will talk to us about where sports and TV is headed, along with how they all got started in the business. Yeah, you guys know that music. All right. Jeff Githner is the general manager of Fox Sports South and a 1980 graduate of Michigan State University. Githner is also a frequent visitor to his alma mater. Jeff recently participated in the MSU College of Communication Arts and Sciences Spartan Sports Classic workshops and panels, and this month received a Distinguished Alumni Award from the college. Now, before the awards banquet, Jeff took some time out of his busy schedule to join me at the CAS building to talk about sports topics ranging from Hall of Famer baseball announcer Ernie Harwell to the Olympics to the landscape of sports broadcasting today.
Very recently, there has been a huge growth, a resurgence, if you will, of launching new sports networks. And historically, sports networks have been aggregators. So a Fox Sports, like the networks I manage, we have seven pro teams. We televise all the Braves games, all the Hawks games, all the Charlotte Bobcats, Carolina Hurricanes, Memphis Grizzlies, Nashville Predators, and a WNBA team, the Dream in Atlanta. And we also produce a huge amount of SEC and SEC content. So we'll produce out of my shop about 820 live sporting events a year, do another 300 studio shows, what have you. But we aggregate all that content. ESPN's an aggregator. You know, they buy rights for many different sports, many different leagues, and they put it on two or three channels. And what we're seeing now in the industry is because channels are available, we're truly in the unlimited channel universe, with web and how many channels are available on cable, we're seeing, instead of sports being aggregated, we're seeing it de-aggregated or fragmented. So, for instance, Los Angeles is a great example. The Lakers have two channels now. an English channel and a Spanish channel. The Dodgers next year will have two channels, an English channel and a Spanish channel. The Pac-12 has two channels, a Pac-12 channel, but a separate channel just for USC and UCLA. And yet there's still Fox Sports out there with the other remaining pro teams. Fox Sports has a second channel called Prime Ticket. You still have ESPN. So what you have now is deaggregation of sports. And in some ways, that's very good because a lot of content is being produced that never was before. More women's sports, more Olympic sports, more WNBA. But the flip side is on the economic side for the consumer. Instead of getting two or three or four channels of sports, now the cable operators have to offer 12, 14 channels because it's so fragmented. And that also drives up cost. And so that's something we're really watching very closely. That's the big issue right now in sports across the country.
So, Jeff, that's interesting you talk about this. When you look at that dynamic, it seems like there's going to be a lot of competition now between these networks as well. I mean, is that healthy in this business?
Well, I think it is healthy because it makes you smarter. It makes you be more effective. The SEC last week announced that they're going to launch a channel in the fall of 14, the SEC network. So they're taking all of their events from us and from other cable networks and from broadcast TV, and they're going to create an SEC network, very much like the Big Ten network, as a matter of fact. Right. And so what happens is we are competing for cable operators and satellite companies to get their very valuable channel space. It's like getting shelf space in a store. You want to get, if you're Procter & Gamble, you want to get shelves in the local grocery store to sell your products as opposed to your competitors. Channels on cable systems like Comcast or on satellite companies like DirecTV, that's shelf space, and we want to keep that shelf space. We don't want to get knocked off for some other sporting event. So we need to be attractive to those distributors. We also need to produce at a very, very high quality because there's so much more content out there that people judge the quality of your coverage versus the quality of someone else's.
Exactly, Jeff. Now, when you look at TV sports production, what are some cool things that you guys are trying to tweak? Putting a computer chip in a hockey puck just to see if it's better on TV, I should say. Talk about some cool things you guys are working on.
Well, you know, interesting, David Hill, who is the chairman of Fox Sports for many years, his mantra basically is don't take what other people do and make it better. Figure out what's missing and create it. And in that vein, we think about someone like Steve Jobs at Apple. I mean, if you think about what Steve Jobs did, he didn't take what Microsoft did and make it better. He figured out what's missing and created it, like iPhones, iPads, things like that. And so we have that philosophy at Fox Sports. You mentioned the computer chip in hockey. When Fox had the hockey rights years back, you know, one of the biggest problems with hockey, and I love hockey, I produced New York Islanders games for 3 years, but it doesn't translate well from the arena to the television. And one of the reasons is the puck is so small, you just can't follow it. Can't so Hawk it, put a Fox put a computer chip in it, and it caused a blue streak, a comet tailing effect. And, you know, some people liked it and it enhanced it. Other people didn't like it simply because it really wasn't the same event or the same type of coverage for the purist. What we call the Fox Box. Years ago in baseball, in the upper corner, left corner of the screen, you'd see, score and runners in scoring position. And Fox wanted to make a difference. So now you've got that, what we call the Fox Box, that bar across the top. We did that originally actually for soccer in England. Brought it to the U.S., and now everyone's doing that as well. So you're always trying to do something different. Super slow-mo, we just launched, rolled out this year, super, super, super slow-mo in high def. And when I say super, super, super slow-mo, it sounds silly, but we can go very, very, very fast speed and not lose any of the resolution in high def. In fact, greater resolution than ever before. We're just rolling that out in trucks now.
It's the same as every other camera in the sense that it takes individual pictures and it plays them back so that you can watch it on TV. This one is just shooting a whole lot more frames, and when you play it back at a normal speed, it turns into something like this, where you can see every tiny little bit of dirt coming off the cleats. It's a pretty normal camera for the camera operator. He can zoom, he can focus. For the high-speed cameras, there's one other element. The memory is actually in the camera. We have as much as 96 gigabytes of memory, which can be used up in its entirety as quickly as 4 seconds.
So always trying to push the technical envelope.
Right. Now, looking at your career, Jeff, when you look at everything you've done so far, what would you say is the coolest, most memorable experience you've had?
You know, since leaving Michigan State, I've been very fortunate. I've been hugely fortunate and have quite a few different ones. I think, you know, being in Michigan, the one that I always remember is I actually came back to Michigan In April of 94, I was hired to be the general manager of what was then called Pass Sports, which was the regional network in Detroit. Pass Sports today is known as Fox Sports Detroit. But in the 90s, it was Pass Sports. We had the Tigers, Red Wings, and Pistons. And, you know, I take great pride and still smile when I recall my first day was opening day of the Tiger season in 94. It was April 8th. It was a snowy day. I'm sitting in the seats with then general manager of WDIV in Detroit, Alan Frank and Mayor Archer. And I asked the simple question, where's Ernie Harwell? And they said, well, Ernie got fired last year by Bo Schembechler, who was our nemesis when he was in Michigan, was then became the president of the Tigers, and he fired Ernie Harwell at the end of the 93 season.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's crazy. So Ernie happened to be in the building, went up and introduced myself. We had Ernie on the air by Thursday.
Here's the pitch on the way. He swings and fouls it off. It'll reach the seats over back of the Tiger dugout, and the man from Walla Walla will take that one home.
Set the pitch, he swings, bounding ball, stopped by Truby for the second one, really the first two for the price of one for the Tigers. A great play by Truby.
There's a breaking ball in for a strike, and he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by, struck him out.
The Tigers have just finished their 2002 season, and I've just finished my baseball broadcasting career. And it's time to say goodbye, but I think goodbyes are sad, and I'd much rather say hello. Hello to a new adventure. I'm not leaving, folks. I'll still be with you, living my life in Michigan, my home state, surrounded by family and friends. And rather than goodbye, please allow me to say thank you. Thank you for letting me be part of your family. Thank you for taking me with you to that cottage up north, to the beach, the picnic, your workplace, and your backyard. Thank you for sneaking your transistor under the pillow as you grew up loving the Tigers. Now, I might have been a small part of your life, but you've been a very large part of mine, and it's my privilege and honor to share with you the greatest game of all. Now, God has a new adventure for me, and I'm ready to move on. So I leave you with a deep sense of appreciation for your long-time loyalty and support. I thank you very much, and God bless all of you.
Unbelievable when you look at that. Oh, my goodness. That's hard to top. Now, I know you've worked the Olympics, though, out in Sydney. Talk about that experience, and what did you serve, and what did you do out there?
Well, you know, it's great. So I'm, you know, it's 2013. I graduated Michigan State 33 years ago. It's
1980,
hard to believe,
right?
1980. It's hard to believe time's flown that fast. And every job I've had was working on the television side of sports, except for my 3 years with the U.S. Olympic Committee. And from 98 through the end of 2000, I ran a division called Entertainment Property Eyes for the U.S. Olympic Committee. I was basically the TV liaison with NBC, the IOC, and the Sydney Organizing Committee. And really the only time in my life where I wasn't on the TV side, but I was on the team side. And it was an awe-inspiring experience because you're with these athletes. And the one thing we forget about Olympians is, you know, if you don't win the gold this year, you got to wait 4 years to come back. Tigers don't win the World Series this year. There's always next year. No, if they don't win the World Series this year, you have to wait till 2017. You know, it's a whole different thing. And so it was amazing to watch those amateur athletes and how hard they worked, knowing if they didn't get it when they were 20 or 18, they had to wait till they were 22 for a next shot at it. And the massiveness of the Olympic coverage and television and the International Broadcast Center. It's this giant hub where every feed from Sydney came into one building and then was spliced off for television around the world. I mean, it was a really, really great experience.
World medalist earlier tonight. Now he's digging deep. The crowd is roaring. Their hero is coming on. Will it be a fairy tale? Thorpe is coming out off the hall. They're matching strikes now. Thorpe on terms with Hall. They've got about 15 meters to swim. Thorpe is over Hall again. Hall and Thorpe. Thorpe's in front. Thorpe and Hall. Thorpe goes in. Australia win. New world record. We have just, the Australians have just broken the American stranglehold on this race. The roof is lifting off this stadium.
Now you are here in town in East Lansing to receive the 2013 Outstanding Alum Award. Talk about what that means to you and how humbling is that when you look at all you've done and received this honor?
It is the most humbling thing in my career. because it's just, you know, to come back to Michigan State, and I was an out-of-state student. I've come back three times in the past year to lecture and speak to classes and everything. And Gary Reed, who is still here running WKR, I mean, he was my first prof here. And, you know, Gary, if there are five people that had a huge impact on my career, Gary would be the first one because he got me on the right path for when I left Michigan State. And I look at the other honorees tonight, and there's a Pulitzer Prize winner. There's, you know, CFO of Washington Times. There's people with phenomenal accomplishments. And to be in the same breath with those people and to look at how this program and how this university has really prepared and developed students the way they do it today, and to be not only part of that team, but to be honored by that team is just an amazing privilege. It really is.
If you could choose one word to describe your career so far, what would it be and why, Jeff?
Surreal. I just never thought, when I walked off the campus of Michigan State, I'd be doing what I'm doing. Right place, the right time, with great preparation, realistic preparation, because the school really prepared you for the reality of the world. And then just hard work. I mean, if you had an opportunity, you work hard. You got your toe in the door, your next mission was to get your knee in the door, and eventually your hip and the whole body.
Wow, that was Jeff Gintner, the general manager of Fox Sports South and a 1980 graduate of Michigan State University. He was here in May to receive a Distinguished Alumni Award for the MSU College of Communication Arts and Sciences. Wow, truly unbelievable stuff when you hear all that was just discussed now. And I mean, just as far as the future in sports, as far as television is concerned, and you heard about the replays and the super slow mo, which if you watch a Tigers game now, I mean, you see that collectively throughout the nation that they use it, and it slows everything down so much. I mean, you can see every little detail. Really cool stuff. Now, as Jeff talked about at the end of that interview. Me and Jeff, after the interview, me and him just sat down and just talked about, you know, where I am right now and really where he was when he came out of college and where he wanted to go as far as sports broadcasting went. And we really dived into the subject of the competition that every young aspiring sports journalist has to deal with when coming out of college and really trying to pursue this thing. And he talked about what he looks for. Now he's in that position, you know, working with as the general manager of Fox Sports South, where he has the opportunity to pick individuals, on-air talent, sideline reporters. And, you know, we talked about what he looks for. And, I mean, as you just saw from him, he told you a story about how one of the greatest voices in baseball, we're talking about Ernie Harwell here. Ernie Harwell was fired. You know, he was fired, let go, Ernie Harwell, guys. And it just shows you that every manager in this business is very cutthroat and you have to really want it. And so when I talked to Jeff about what he looks for when it comes to him and his business, he talked about, you know, the journalist right out of high school. You have to have that experience. And that's something that whoever's listening to me right now, any young sports journalist that's in college, that's in, you know, in high school, at elementary school, if you guys really want to do this, the experience is the key. Go out there and get the necessary internships. Like I said yesterday, when I was talking about my journey to how I got here to really, you know, be humbled and have this privilege of trying to fill the shoes. Well, I can't fill the shoes of Earl Robinson, but trying to fill the shoes of Earl Robinson and all that he's done here. What separated me apart was just my experience and just having that drive to really want it. And you got to stay optimistic, guys, because there's competition out there left and right. You may be putting together a blog or a vlog, whatever that is, but, you know, there's somebody else out there just doing the same thing. You just got to when you're out there getting these internships, guys, just make sure that have that trust that you know that you're putting in the hard work and that the hard work is going to pay off. So, well, definitely, that's a subject I really want to get in depth with later on in the show. I'll bring in my two production assistants who are really trying to get their feet wet in the sports reporting realm and talk about what they're doing themselves to try to separate themselves from the competition. We'll definitely dive deep into that. Well, when we return to current sports, though, we'll dive into our current sports section of current sports. That's a lot of current sports for you guys right here on WKAR. And I want to remind you all that we will be taking your calls at 140. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics or even the interview with Jeff. That's 140, people. Stay tuned. More current sports is next.
Talk of the Nation provides you with the day's news and more, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm Neil Conan. When you're looking for the latest news and how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, and your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Baseball is great and I want to play it so much. But it's hard for me, sometimes it can be too tough. I'd give anything just to come up to the plate and swing. Then I heard about a really cool thing coming to our town. They're gonna build a field so kids like me can get around. Everybody's pitching in. Looks like we're gonna win. It's a miracle to me. I'm playing baseball. It's a sight to see. We got it all. Under the lights, I'm a star tonight. Looks like I'm living the dream. 'Cause I'm playing on.
Welcome back to Current Sports with me, Al Martin. It's now that time of the show where we run down today's biggest sports topic concerning Mid-Michigan. And if you're wondering, you're probably wondering like, hey, what was that nice little tune right there? Well, guys, on Current Sports, we want to bring you guys coverage of sports that go beyond, like I said, beyond the X's and O's. That's something I'm constantly harping on. And this was one of the most perfect stories you can, when you talk about that context, one of the best stories you can do. One of the best stories you can mention in that respect. It was opening day of the Miracle League of Mid-Michigan. That was yesterday, guys. And if you're wondering what that is, the Miracle League helps children who have physical and cognitive challenges achieve their full potential. And they do that by allowing them the opportunity to play baseball as part of an organized league. I saw this story when I was sitting back just watching television last night, and really inspiring stuff, guys. I mean, these kids have gone through many, many challenges, and a lot of these kids love sports. They watch sports. They want to participate in sports, and the Miracle League is an unbelievable initiative to try and get them involved in that regard. Now, during the opening day, which is yesterday, a really cool aspect to this story, the MSU baseball team, that's right, Coach Jake Boss took his team out there, and the team served as on-the-field coaches. Really cool stuff, guys. If you want, you can go to www.MiracleLeagueOfMidMichigan.org, and you can find all about it. Now, even though yesterday was opening day, if you guys know anyone, any child who's going through any physical and cognitive challenges themselves, but really love sports and want to get involved in something, not just sitting at home all the time, dealing with the current situation they're in.
Want to get it involved. This is a really, really inspiring and fun organization to do it. Like I said, visit MiracleLeagueOfMidMichigan.org. You can find all of the information about it on there. The league registration is now open. And it's really cool when you look at that, the dynamics of this organization. Yesterday they played one inning of baseball just to open things up. As I said, the MSU baseball team were out there to help them hit round the bases and field. It was really nice. Now as the games start to be played, the games will last two innings. And there's a few guidelines. Each athlete, really cool guidelines, I should say. Each athlete hits and scores a run in each inning. And if needed, like I said, an athlete is matched with a buddy who helps them hit round the bases and field. The parents just get to sit back, watch, and celebrate with their child. And it was really cool to see it yesterday, guys. You know, the parents of these children just in the stands rooting for their child, really cheering for them. So later on this week, if not this week, next week, we plan to have a representative from this organization talk more about it. And this is one of those things that I say, you know, all the time. It takes you away from just everything that's going on in the world. It's one of the biggest reasons why I got into sports broadcasting, well, sports journalism in general, because sports just take you out of that normal realm of just whatever you're going through in life and takes you away for a while. And that's what this organization aims to do. And this is one of those stories that really touch your heart. So really cool to see, guys. Just definitely had to mention that. A really, really cool event. So, all right, let's move on to current sports now, guys. The Detroit Tigers were in action last night against the Houston Astros. Yes, the Houston Astros. You guys know the Houston Astros. They are the worst team in baseball. The Tigers topped the Houston Astros 7-2 yesterday. Andy Dirks batted leadoff due to an injury to Austin Jackson. Jackson is dealing with a pulled left hamstring, but boy, was Andy Dirks impressive, folks. Dirks had a leadoff double and run scored. He went 3-for-4 with 4 RBIs. Now, out of that, the highlight of all that he did last night was that he got his first career grand slam in the fourth inning. And afterward, Houston starting pitcher Bud Norris said it was the worst 0-2 pitch of my career. Another guy who also had a solid game was Victor Martinez. Now, Jim Leland, after the game, talked about Martinez's contribution. Check him out.
Yeah, and all I want Victor to do is hit line drives and knock in runs. He's real good at that, and that's when he's at his best. So I'll be happy if he just hits those line drives and gets those RBIs. I don't really care how he gets them. He put a really good swing on that ball. He got on top of it and hit a line drive. It's actually a line drive out of ballpark.
Now, even though this team is playing, the Tigers are playing the Houston Astros. I'm just running it down. Earlier this month, the Tigers swept the Astros 4 straight in Houston. This is just a bad team, guys. The Tigers have now outscored the Astros. Get this, man. 44-10 in the last 5 games they played this year. Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me, man. But, you know, the mentality the Tigers have is really where it needs to be, because Victor Martinez talked afterwards that even though these are the Houston Astros we're playing, we still got to approach it like we're playing one of the league's best.
Well, you know what? I think that's something that we do pretty well. You know, we don't take anything for granted. You know, I mean, they're in the big leagues. You know, they're in the big leagues for a reason. So we just make sure that we come ready to play every night.
And that's the mentality you gotta have, baby. All right, now Anibal Sanchez was the starting pitcher for the Tigers. He allowed 2 runs, 6 hits, and 7 innings, striking out 8 with 1 walk. Houston now loses 15 of the last 18 games they've played. My goodness gracious. But you know what? When you look at the Tigers, this is definitely a series they needed, because if you look at the weekend, them losing the series to the Cleveland Indians, which they're in battle right now in the AL Central, Detroit and Cleveland, for that top spot. Detroit, with the win last night, now moves ahead in the AL Central. The AL Central, they move up a half game. Cleveland right behind them. And they need a series like this playing the league's worst, so maybe they can gain some games now and really stretch that lead out. So I guess if there is one shining light, I guess, for the Astros, I mean, Miguel Triple Crown Cabrera, his hitting streak was snapped at 11 games last night. He didn't get a hit. So if there's any shining light, if you're Houston, whoever that Houston Astros fan is out there, I mean, it maybe harp on that. But, all right, the Tigers tonight back in action at 7:08 p.m. at Comerica Park. Doug Fister will be on the mound against Houston's right-hander Lucas Herrell. All right, let's move on. Brady Hoke calling out Notre Dame. Did you hear about this one, folks? Michigan coach Brady Hoke took an issue Monday with the way Notre Dame pulled out of its annual football rivalry game with the Wolverines. Here's what he had to say.
We are fortunate to have unbelievable rivalry games at Michigan. The Notre Dame game, that rivalry, which they're chickening out of, but...
They're chickening out. As Hoke told a crowd at West Michigan Sports Commission luncheon in Grand Rapids that the Irish were chickening out of the series with the Wolverines. And you know what? I kind of have to agree with them on this. But when you look at sports, man, and the politics of sports, money rules everything. And Notre Dame, I guess, when they look at this move to get out of this rivalry and Notre Dame announcing to move to the ACC, they're looking at dollar signs, and I guess Notre Dame feels as though if they do this, you know, more money for the school and the program will come their way. So, I mean, it's all about politics, guys. So, but I do love the Michigan and Notre Dame rivalry. It's truly something special. I mean, these guys have been battling since, like, the 1800s, it seems like. Like, their first game was November 23rd, 1887. And they've met 40 times, really two historic football programs just going at it. And it all ends, man. Now, Notre Dame, because of its stipulations in the contract between the schools, had to give notice of termination of the deal 3 years in advance. So, if you remember, before kickoff of the game between the schools last year on September 22nd, just before the teams played, the Irish gave notice to Michigan that, hey, we're done, no more rivalry, it's finito. Now, I would be kind of upset if I got that news right before a game. That's not cool, man. But, hey, they had to do what they had to do. Now, the decision came 10 days after Notre Dame announced to move to the ACC, and with it, an agreement to play 5 games against schools in that conference each season. So for all you Michigan fans out there and Notre Dame fans out there, this is really going to hurt, you know, seeing Notre Dame and Michigan no longer play. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, this is the politics of sports, and it comes into play so many times. All right, so let's move on. The $20 million renovation of Spartan Stadium. Now, this story actually came out yesterday, but we're just updating you guys. We didn't get a chance to get to it. Now, if you don't know, Michigan State University is planning to put in $20 million to Spartan Stadium and renovate the whole thing, and it should be wrapped up by next year. Now, it's not finalized just yet. The East Lansing School Board holds a retreat and meeting June 19th to the 21st, during which construction is expected to gain final approval. Now, if you look at everything, MSU AD, Athletic Director Mark Hollis, says the construction is expected to begin and could wrap up next year in May of 2014. It's supposed to be funded $14 million in the donations and $6 million from the MSU Athletic Department funds. And when you look at this, guys, this is great, I think. Spartan Stadium, when you compare it to other venues, I always compare Spartan Stadium when I look at this to the Big House. I know that it's a big comparison to the Big House out in Ann Arbor. Michigan State's got to step its game up, definitely. I know the Big House just redid its whole press area, you know, a beautiful stadium out there. In Michigan State, you know, when you have someone like Mark Hollis, who I think is one of the top athletic directors in the entire nation, I mean, just look at all the things he's done with, you know, the basketball team playing overseas. I mean, there's talks now with the baseball team possibly. I don't know if you guys heard this, the baseball team possibly playing at the Dodger Stadium. You know, Magic Johnson's now the owner over there, so he's got some connections over there. But at Mark Hollis is just unbelievable. He's always pushing the limits to what this school can do at Michigan State, and I think this would be a great thing. The plan calls for a 2-level building at the stadium's north end, including locker rooms an equipment room, and media center. Now, yeah, this is long overdue. I'm definitely looking forward to that, man. We've always been crammed up in the all you media guys who listen to me right now can feel my pain. Crammed up in that trailer. It's real hot and muggy. Not a lot of room. Especially for TV guys, too, man. Except that tripod, you got about 50 other cameras on the right of you and left of you and trying to get the focus right. It's just bad. So this is great, man, that they're trying to do this. Restroom and concession stands, as well as recruiting room. A recruiting room for sports is also planned in the project. So recruits who come to MSU, possible recruits who come to MSU and want to enjoy the game, they'll have their own little room where they can, you know, can view the game. Definitely a great recruiting method as far as that aspect is concerned. All right, let's move on, guys. Just give me a quick rundown. Darren Keaton signs with the Lions. If you guys don't know who Darren Keaton is, the Detroit Lions announced Monday they have signed a rookie free agent, Darren Keaton. He is 6'3", 305 pounds, and played at CMU. That's right, Central Michigan, Chippewa. He is 22 and hails from Traverse City. Now, if you look at this, the Lions did have to let go of someone to free up some room for Darren Keaton to join the squad. And that person is Skylar Allen. He was another rookie free agent offensive lineman. So, and also now, you know, Keaton will be joining Cody Wilson, who's also a CMU guy. He's a receiver on the Lions roster. So, Lions trying to beef up that offensive line. So, all right, let's keep it moving. Lansing Catholic, in the world of preps, Lansing Catholic clinches the CAAC white title in baseball. That's right, the Lansing Catholic Cougars beat Portland yesterday, sweeping them in a doubleheader to clinch their second consecutive CAAC white baseball title. They beat the Red Raiders 5-3 and 6-4 at Kircher Municipal Park yesterday. The Cougars are undefeated in the white, 10-0. Just a really solid team over there. And now the teams in the area prepare for the Diamond Classic. There's still some things to be wrapped up as far as the season goes, but teams definitely getting ready for that Diamond Classic coming up. I know I will be out there covering that too. Now the Diamond Classic, an event that has historically been dominated by Grand Ledge and Coach Pat O'Keefe over there. Pat O'Keefe is just a legend when you talk about high school baseball. Really an outstanding comments team. Now Grand Ledge yesterday was actually in a dogfight. Yeah, that's right, a doubleheader yesterday with East Lansing. They did win both games, game one 6-2, but game two was not a walk through the park. The Comets only pulled out a 5-4 win. So now, if you look at Grand Ledge, this week they will play Holt for the CAAC Blue title. That should definitely be exciting. All right, moving on. We're going to keep it moving. The NBA playoffs, baby. That's right, the Heat beat the Bulls last night, 88-65. I mean, they didn't just beat them. All right, they claim a 3-1 series lead. Now LeBron James throwing up 27. The Miami Heat almost matched the franchise record for points allowed in a playoff game. The Heat only allowed, as I said, 65 points, which is only 2 points more than the all-time low for a Miami opponent. That's unbelievable, guys. It was the worst performance in Bulls postseason history. Before last night, they had never scored less than 69 points in a playoff game. As you know, though, the Bulls missing a lot of pieces, especially one of those big pieces, Luol Deng, who was at the game last night but didn't participate, Kirk Heinrich and that injured calf. And get this, man, Nate Robinson, who he made me look like an idiot today. I was really just pulling for the guy, just saying how unbelievable he is, which I think he's a great scorer, but he threw up a donut for me last night. 0 points for Nate Robinson. Crazy, man. So, and a lot of, one of the things I think that, that I really want to let you guys know about that really, when you look at this whole dynamic is, it's really been on my mind is whether or not Derrick Rose should have played. That's one of those things where you really kind of say, hey, okay, he's trying to look out for himself, but at the same time, you see guys out there. I mean, if you look at Nate Robinson, for instance, I mean, I remember when Nate Robinson, I believe, in the beginning of the series had, you know, the flu. I mean, the man is throwing up on the sidelines during the game, and he's still going out there and trying to contribute.
Derrick Rose is cleared to play, ladies and gents, but he's not playing. I can see both sides, but really looking at this and seeing your team get beat like that, the competitor in that team, really, you want to say, hey, man, just give it a go. But, hey, that's just me talking, man. As I said, I want to hear your guys' opinion on that and everything we've discussed from television and sports. We move on to our last segment of the show where we hear from you. That's right. We want to take your calls. Give us a buzz at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. If something is on your mind, we going to talk about it. And of course, I'm not going anywhere, folks. I hope you don't either. Pick up the phone. More Current Sports is next.
Tell me the story of us.
Again?
All right, Francis.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about the new film Frances Ha with director Noah Baumbach and actress Greta Gerwig. It's about a young woman in the transition from college student to adult, dealing with relationships with both men and women that are often ambiguous and open-ended. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, it's now that time of the show where we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. I'm told we have a call on line one. It is Alex from East Lansing. What's up, Alex?
How you doing, Alan? I just want to say you're doing a great job, man. You got a great personality for the job you're doing, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot, Alex. You the man. I appreciate that, man. What you calling about, bro?
Oh, man, I'm calling about I have a question for you. D. Rose, man, how much do you think the playoffs would be changed if D. Rose was healthy, say even Luol Deng is healthy? Do you think it would turn into a 6-7-game series? Give me your opinion, man.
Without a doubt, man. Thanks. First of all, thanks for the call, Alex. I really appreciate that, man. I think when you look at the way this series has gone so far, the Miami Heat, a powerhouse. They've been playing well all season. Unbelievable team. LeBron James, the greatest player in the game today. I think eventually the Miami Heat will win that series. But when you look at this series and you look at the way it's been played, especially at the beginning of the series, this scratch last night, look at those first two games. It was the Bulls actually took the first game of that series, and they did it by being physical. And that's the only way, Alex, that when you look at the Miami Heat and Chicago Bulls, if you're going to beat them, you have to be physical with them. The talent level is so immense that you have to try to combat that with something, and that something is being physical. And I think if you add Derrick Rose, who arguably when he was playing was the best point guard in the game, he's a scoring machine, and then you add Luol Deng, a guy who can take you inside, outside, who has a great ball handling ability, and you imagine adding that with the guys they've produced right now without him. Boozer has been consistent. Nate Robinson was consistent until last night. So if you add all of those ingredients, I think you're looking at a six-game, possible seven-game series. But they have to do that. The only way they do that and push it to a game seven is if they come back and they maintain that physical play. They can't just come back and play timid. They have to come back and maintain that physical play. And that's the hallmark of a Tom Thibodeau team. So I think it would make a huge difference, man. And it makes me wonder, man, the man is cleared to play. He's been cleared to play for a while now, and he's not out there. And that's got to be frustrating as a teammate. I don't know. Like a guy like Joakim Noah, he's definitely vouched for Derrick Rose, saying, hey, leave him alone. But as a fan and a broadcaster and journalist looking from the outside in, you wonder. You just wonder, man. So, yeah.
I agree with you, man. I agree with you. Thanks for the advice. And one more question for you, man. One more quick question.
Yeah.
What do you think is the biggest injury for their team? Do you think it's Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook, or Rondo? Which one do you think has had the biggest impact in these NBA playoffs?
Wow, that's a really, really good question. You thought about that one, man. You were sitting last night trying to think of that question, huh? But no, I think
give credit to the Dan Patrick Show for that. They were talking about that. Which point guard has had the biggest? You know, which one has played the biggest factor in these playoffs? What do you think, man? And I'll let you go on that one. Thanks for your time, Alan.
Hey, thank you for the call, Alex. Man, when I look at it, man, I really have to go with Russell Westbrook, possibly. This is a team, when you look at the Thunder, I mean, they had the pieces, man. And to see them really struggle right now, they're really struggling, man. If you look at last night against the Memphis Grizzlies, they're struggling to score. And particularly, they're struggling to score on the inside. Memphis is not letting anything as far as OKC goes. They're not letting anything in the inside. I mean, you got guys like Zach Randolph, who has been unbelievable that entire series, MSU alum. Russell Westbrook allows you to open up that. Russell Westbrook was probably the most athletic point guard in the NBA. He was able to go inside. He was a slasher, go to the basket and get buckets. And when you do that, you allow a shooter. Well, I think Kevin Durant, don't get me wrong, he can't take you off the dribble and take you to the hole, but Kevin Durant is an outstanding shooter. When you have Westbrook going to the paint, that allows guys to collapse in the paint and possibly for a kickout for Kevin Durant and allows him to get easy buckets. That's not happening now. All of the weight right now is on Kevin Durant. Now, if you look at the season, I mean, OKC was outstanding throughout the season, and a lot of that had to do with Russell Westbrook. So when I look at it, man, a team who went to the finals, who had a lot of potential, and you take away a guy like that, and you see just how much this team is collapsing without Russell Westbrook, I got to go with OKC. That's just me, though. So, all right. Well, I have sitting with me my two great production assistants. We have Matt Lutke and Alex Sharp. Now, the reason why these guys two are in this section, now, I told you earlier, just discussing, we talked about Jeff Gintner, and I talked off the record with him about, you know, as far as sports broadcasting goes, and you're coming right out of college and trying to find a job, it's a struggle. It's a lot of competition out there, and I shared my story yesterday with you guys about, you know, getting that experience in internships, and these two guys, my production assistants, are really trying to make their mark in sports broadcasting and try to take their craft to the next level. So I'm sitting with them to try to talk to and inspire any young journalist out there who's listening right now and who may be inspired by their words and their advice to try to really get after this thing, because it's so competitive. And I tell you, once you get your foot in the door, this is the greatest job known to man. I love doing this. I would do this for free, guys. So, guys, first off, what are you guys trying to do right now in your own careers right now, young careers, to try to separate yourself from the competition?
Well, first off, when it comes to separating yourself from the competition, you've got to look at your trade assets. And what I mean by that is, what's going to set you apart from everybody else? Is it going to be one specific skill? Is it going to be the fact that you can do a bunch of different skills? Well, I think the easy answer to that is the way that the journalism field is moving today, it's turning into one-man bands. And as you know, Al, a TV guy, it's very difficult to get into the journalism world and to the media world.
Right.
If you don't have a bunch of different skills that will help you with journalism. What I mean by that is not only do you have to be a good print journalist, you have to be able to write. You have to be able to have great public speaking skills, great conversational skills. And also, as we're slowly learning, you also have to have pretty good production skills. So slowly as we are moving forward within the next decade or so, and even here at Michigan State, as they start with you, you're slowly going to have to pick up on a bunch of different other skills that you never used to before. Back then, even Jeff would say, you could just say, hey, I want to be a print guy. I want to just report. I want to be a guy behind the scenes. Nowadays, the way TV stations, as you know, after working at six, you know, they're consolidating. So, and especially you have Matt over here who will explain in a second. But, you know, even sometimes to get to where you want to be, you have to take other positions, other work or other jobs that you may not want to get into. But that's just to get your foot in the door. Matt had to spend, you know, a couple of years behind the desk before he finally is able to start here as a production assistant. So
exactly, and that's very true. And something interesting about Matt's story is, guys, Matt isn't even a journalism major. I mean, he was an English major, graduated out of college, you know? And that's something that is really unique. And it shows, just to show you guys out there, you're not just competing with other journalism majors out there. You're competing with a vast array of people. Matt, share your story, man. Talk a little about that.
Yeah, look out, journalism majors, because I'm coming to take your jobs here.
But, watch out, baby.
No, but I think, you know, the most important thing is, you know, if you're, let's say you're 22, just graduated, you know, you're not going to be, you know, the top dog at ESPN right off the bat. You got to be willing to put in, you know, the grunt work, to put it, you know, bluntly. You know, you have to be able to do different things, maybe things that aren't totally in your comfort zone, maybe things that you didn't see yourself doing. You just got to be focused on the long game. It's not, you know, you don't go, I know in this age, instant gratification is basically like the bread and butter of America. But to kind of cut your teeth in this business, I feel like you definitely have to be able to put the hours in, you know, put the reps in, to use a sports term, and kind of build yourself up. You're not going to be a finished product right out of the gate. You know, you're going to be developing these skills, like Alex said. You know, specialization is kind of going out the door, because have to be good at everything, and you have to develop skills that you weren't expecting to, but maybe sooner or later that becomes a strength of yours. You know, you have to be a well-rounded individual and have a multitude of different things that you can bring to the table in terms of, you know, moving up the ladder, so to speak. So, yeah.
Right, without a doubt, man. And sharing my story, like I said, when I was when I was in college, my senior year, for me, guys, if you know me, I'm a very extremely competitive guy, probably overly competitive. I mean, if I'm playing
overly, though, what do you compare it to?
I'm about to give you an example. If I'm playing my grandma in Goldfish, I'm not just trying to beat grandma. I'm trying to just demolish her. You know what I mean? That's how I am. I've always been brought up like that. I hate losing, man. So that's one of the biggest reasons why I love journalism, because it's so competitive. I feed off that. But a lot of guys, for a lot of kids coming out, it can be discouraging, because you see all this competition. You're like, man, I don't have a shot. And when we go back to the Spartan Sports Journalism Classic, when you had, you know, guys like Steve Smith and Greg Kelser and all those guys coming in and talking about, and of course, Jeff, and, you know, just all these guys talking about, you know, what they did coming out of college and their experiences. I mean, you really have to set yourself apart. And for me, it was just the experience. Like Jeff said, I mean, when I was in college, I mean, I had an internship at WLNS. I was working at Home TV as a news and sports reporter. I mean, like you said, news, I never wanted to do news. I mean, that was my foot in the door, as Alex said. I was working for the Big Ten Student U, did that for 3 years, then finally got on air my senior year. Writing for Voice Magazine, you have to be so well-rounded, man, and that's so important. So for you guys, what advice would you give to that young sports journalist out there listening right now that's seeing all this competition and is feeling kind of discouraged?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of examples where it doesn't really matter who you are. You know, in this day and age, and in the, you know, the Twitter era, everything's about being first, but you have to be right. And, you know, anyone can break a story. I mean, you look at Sarah Ganim from Penn State,
yeah,
the girl who broke the Sandusky story. She beat ESPN, which is one of, you know, the biggest media conglomerates, I guess, you know, in the nation. And she's from this little tiny paper, and she has the biggest story probably of the decade in sports journalism. And she's the one who broke it. And, you know, she started working on the story at 22. So no matter where you are or what you're doing, you know, don't think that you're a small fish in too big of a pond. You know, you've got plenty of room to make your mark, you know, and if you're this young, you've got lots of time to build your way up the ladder, and you can make big strides pretty quick. She won a Pulitzer Prize at 24. I mean,
wow.
You know, you never know. If you put the work in, you can swing with the big boys. It doesn't matter where you're from.
Yeah, I think the obvious answer is just switch your major to English, just like men, and kind of do what you want from there.
I should have did that, man.
We should have done. We're looking at them right now.
People say you can't do anything with an English degree, but I'm pretty sure you can do just about anything.
Right. So. Oh, yeah. Matt's proven to everybody. You can do anything you
want. Right. No, but definitely a big piece of advice I would give is that you have to look at journalism from a different angle. And what I mean by that is you're not only a journalist. You're a businessman. You're branding yourself. You're branding your contacts. You're branding what you can bring to a company. And then one thing that I also didn't realize when I was taking classes is when you're looking, you know, to get a job and you're looking at an employer, you have to put yourself in their shoes and say, what can I offer or what can my niche be that they don't currently have? So I think that's one aspect that's obviously a lot of the times ignored, not necessarily through just the art of growing through the thought process of it, but in your classes. I mean, you don't really have many classes, and actually here in Michigan State, we do have some classes about that. But
yeah.
And when it comes to high school and when just like you started at your paper as an editor, you don't really learn to brand yourself. And that's something that you learn throughout college. So that's one definitely really big piece of advice I would say to the aspiring journalists. And then another piece of advice I would say is to definitely do all that you can. In college, come on, guys, how many times do we sit here and we're just watching the game with your buddies? You just want to sit back. You want to enjoy it as a fan. Little of the time, you don't want to be reporting on the game and, you know, not being able to cheer from the stands, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to get up there.
No cheering in a press box.
And say, hey, Titus Young, what are you doing? You know, but
right.
But for the most part, yeah, you definitely want to do the most you can in college, just like you. I'm sure you'll go on about your internships that you had.
Right, and I definitely agree with that. Those are two great points that you guys brought up. And from the perspective of branding, I mean, I didn't get introduced to branding until I was probably a junior in college. And I remember, I forget who the professor was, though, that came to my – I remember I was in L.A. Dickerson's class.
Was it Joe Grimm? Maybe Joe Grimm?
No, it wasn't Joe Grimm. I was in L.A. Dickerson's class, and I forget who came in. Whatever. All right, anyway. But they told me about branding and just doing things that really – exemplify who you are and set you apart. And one of the things I tried, guys, it's probably still on YouTube right now. I think it is. But I tried this one episode. I got inspired after LA's class and I went home. I'm like, you know, I'm going to start a show. I'm going to start a TV show. And the TV show was called Talking Sports with Al Martin. And it was the most rinky dink.
How is this not called that?
Well, no. Well, yeah, with Current Sport. That's a good name, too, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I went home, man. And I brought my couch in, and I had this little camera. I'm reading. I use my laptop as a teleprompter, so I'm not even looking at the camera when I'm discussing every topic. It was just bad. But as you said, I mean, that's the type of fire I had to try and just try stuff. Don't be afraid to try stuff and fail at it, guys. And that's one of the biggest things. So, all right, my two production assistants here. When you talk about your long-term goals in this sports broadcasting thing, what's your dream? Where do you guys see yourselves? Because you have to have a vision. You have to have a dream. That's what inspired me to. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I think my first dream, as I've told you, I want to be like Al Jordan Martin. Middle name Jordan because of the competitiveness.
Competitiveness. There you go.
All right. But no. For myself, actually, it's a little early because, you know, I'm a production assistant here. I have a couple other different positions at other places that are in a bunch of different realms. So my ultimate goal, I don't think, is really undecided yet because I think there are so many times where you change what you're doing in your life. I think there's a statistic that throughout your life that you change your ultimate goal of what you would like to do just two or three times. So, yeah, I would definitely say that my goal is a little bit undecided right now.
Gotcha, Matt.
Yeah, I'm kind of on that road, too. You know, you just kind of go wherever the opportunity presents itself. You know, as far as an end goal, I don't know if, you know, at 22 you want to kind of put yourself in a corner like that. I think the sky's the limit. You can do whatever you want, and, you know, you go where the opportunity is, and right. don't say no to anything, because, I mean, you don't know where that's going to lead and what that's going to eventually become down the line. So, you know, you just take any opportunity as it comes. Don't say no to anything. 3 months ago, I didn't think I'd be, you know, on the air talking sports, so...
Right, definitely.
Dreams happen.
Dreams happen, guys. Great advice. Thank you guys for joining me. Well, before we leave, we want to give a special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky in here with me, our production assistants, along with my engineer, Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing.